Now we're taking our Bible reading tonight from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 24. Now last night our reading was very long, and we did say that the golden rule in the pulpit is, if you haven't much to say, make sure you have plenty to read. So we had plenty to read last night. But we haven't much to read tonight. But don't despair. We're not working overtime in this mission, so we'll still be out in good time. Acts chapter 24, and we'll read from the verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Amen. We know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Keeping in mind the portion of scripture that we read together, we want to look at the subject, the sin of procrastination. We read, of course, that Felix sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Alexander Smylie, a gospel preacher and Christian writer of a bygone day, said, "There are two sworn enemies of every man's soul." He said, "Their names are yesterday and tomorrow." And he went on to say that one destroys his thousands and the other destroys his tens of thousands. He said, "Yesterday slays his thousands. What he seeks to do is to plunge my heart into utter despair. He tells me, 'You have had all your golden opportunities. Every chance has been given to you, but you have trampled them all under your feet, with the result that there's now no more gospel opportunity left for you.' Sadly, many, believing the devil's lie, feel that God has abandoned them, has left them forever in their sin, with the result that yesterday slays his thousands. But then he said, 'Tomorrow slays his tens of thousands.' He has recourse to the opposite experience of yesterday. Brave vows, wonderful promises, good intentions that will never, ever be fulfilled. Good resolutions that lull the conscience to sleep. These are his deadly weapons. When I have a convenient season, he bids me say to the Savior, 'I will call for thee.' Sadly, for many, that convenient season never seems to come. And tragically, tomorrow slays his tens of thousands." Now, tragically, in our society, many feel that they have missed their God-given and golden opportunity to lay hold upon eternal life. They keep waiting for a more opportune moment. They keep waiting for a more convenient season. They keep intending to be saved tomorrow, but that tomorrow never, ever seems to come. Now, that is how it was with this person called Felix. After sending for Paul, hearing him concerning the faith in Christ, the Bible tells us that he trembled and said to the apostle, "When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Now, the Bible tells us that he did call again for Paul, not to hear him concerning the faith in Christ, but hoping that money might be given to him. But he never called upon Paul to hear concerning the faith in Christ again. And there was this terrible sin of procrastination in his life. Now, that is the problem with many people in Ulster tonight and across the nations of the world on hearing the gospel of Christ. They don't seem to sense the urgency of the moment. They don't seem to see that it is important to strive then to enter in the straight gate. They don't see the immediacy of laying hold upon eternal life. With the result, they commit this terrible sin of procrastination. It's a sin, friend, you could commit in this mission. Now, as we look at the text, I want you to notice three simple things. I want you to notice, first of all, his sincere inquiry. The Bible says that after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And we have to be absolutely clear what is happening here. This man is inquiring about one specific thing, and that is the faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the verse says he came with his wife Drusilla. And when you look into the history of that individual Drusilla, you will discover that she's carrying a lot of baggage and she has quite a background. Her father, of course, was Herod Agrippa, and he had killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. He then had taken Peter and imprisoned him, and had he thought he could have got away with it, he would have also put Peter to the sword. Then the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 12 that he himself had a terrible death because he was smitten by the angel of the Lord, and he was actually eaten of worms. Alexander White, commenting on this portion of Scripture, said, "I doubt if Drusilla had any interest in spiritual matters. We do not read of her sending for Paul. We do not read of her after listening, trembling as Felix trembled." Now, verse 22 shows that Felix very clearly wanted to hear the apostle speak. Had we taken time to read more of the chapter, the Bible says in verse 22, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way." You see, folks, people weren't called Christians in that period of time. They were called Christians first at Antioch. They were called people of the way. And he had perfect knowledge of that way, of the Christian way, of the way of salvation. Paul was responding to a very, very specific inquiry, the faith in Jesus Christ. What was actually happening here was this, folks. That Felix was actually inquiring about how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's how specific it was. And it is somewhat amazing that a Roman governor was inquiring about becoming a Christian. I wonder, friend, have you ever made that inquiry? Ever thought or considered about becoming a Christian? Giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always this danger that tomorrow will be a more opportune time. There's always this danger, young people, that when you're older, it will be easier. But as we shall see later on in the message, today is always the important day. The nows of the Bible are very, very relevant. But we have not only his sincere inquiry, and I trust that you might make such an inquiry in your heart and mind this evening. I want you to notice then his, because when he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith, the Bible says in verse 25 that as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. That was a very, very important moment in that man's life. And something is happening there. In that he is trembling after listening to the explanation of the apostle concerning the gospel. After all, isn't that why he sent for Paul? Isn't that why what he wanted to hear? And now after hearing, the Bible says he's trembling. And I believe at that particular moment in that man's life, He is experiencing the fear of God. That was God's moment in Felix's life. And Paul did not miss the opportunity in his presentation of the gospel. My friend, gospel missions are always God-given opportunities for people to enter into the kingdom of God. It's a God-given opportunity tonight to lay hold upon eternal life, a God-given opportunity to close in with God's offer of mercy. And often when missions are over and closed and gone, we find that death comes and opportunities are lost. Therefore, you need to consider this moment, this mission, this night, what you will do with Jesus Christ. Paul, he spoke of three things there. He spoke of righteousness, he spoke of temperance, and he spoke of judgment to come. And now the governor is trembling. Righteousness. What does righteousness mean, folks? It simply means right, right with God. And what Felix realized that moment, that his life was not right with God. Can I ask you in all sincerity and compassion for your soul, friend, are you right with God? He was suddenly made aware of how unright his life was in the sight of a thrice holy God. Now historians tell us that Felix actually had been a slave who had been given his freedom. He had risen to the rank of governor through the influence of his brother Pallas. He never should have been a governor. He wasn't qualified to be a governor. He was a cruel individual who exercised the authority of a king with the spirit of a slave. Now he's made to face up to the record of his life. And what a moment that was. And you see, there comes a moment in all our lives when God bids us make our choice twixt this world and God's dear Son. There comes a moment in all our lives when God calls us to face up to the reality if we are right with God. That moment had come in that man's life. Maybe, and I trust, if you don't know the Savior, that night will come tonight for you. Listen, folk, ask yourself quietly in your heart, am I right with God? Not only did he speak to him that day of righteousness, but of temperance. And when we think about temperance, what do we think about? We're in an orange hall tonight. And sometimes on the 12 demonstrations, you will see orange lodges and they're carrying a banner and it will say temperance. And of course, we know what that means regarding alcohol, but that's not the temperance that is referred to here. When Paul spoke about temperance, he was talking specifically about self-control in sensual matters, because Felix had never, ever shown any self-control in that department of his life. He would stop at nothing to get what his heart desired. Now, historians tell us that Drusilla was married when she was but a teenager. She was said to be one of the most beautiful women of her day, possessing a beauty that excelled the beauty of all other women of her generation. And Felix coaxed her away from her lawful husband to live in a sinful relationship with him. So when Paul spoke of temperance, he's touching a very tender nerve. And now this man is caused to face the sin of his life, and he's trembling in the presence of the apostle. My friend, have you ever trembled in the presence of God because of your sin? Have you any fear of God tonight in your life? And then the apostle spoke of judgment to come. You see, as governor, Felix thought that everybody was answerable to him, and he, as a governor, was answerable to no one. But now, he is made to realize that indeed he is answerable to someone who is higher and holier than himself, that he is answerable to the judge of all men, and now the fear of God is gripping his heart. He knows he's not right with God. He knows there's never been any sense of temperance in his life. He knows that God one day will bring him into the judgment. And he is trembling. You know, folks, we do need to realize that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. We read in the crucifixion story of the Lord Jesus Christ about Pilate. And the Bible says, and Jesus stood before the governor. But one day, the governor will stand before Jesus. And one day we'll stand before Jesus. And that will be the moment of judgment day, honesty. That'll be the day when every secret sin will be brought to the light of eternity. And there'll be no hiding place. And Felix realizes there's nowhere to run and there's nowhere to hide. And he's trembling in the presence of the apostle. Oh, I believe that that was God's moment in that man's life. I believe in that he's trembling over his sin. There is evidence that he was near the kingdom. But we must remember this truth that near the kingdom is not in the kingdom. He was concerned, but he was not converted. This mission, this meeting, is God's moment for your life. Why didn't Felix trust Jesus Christ there and then? Again, wasn't that why he sent for Paul? Wasn't that what he wanted to hear, how he could actually receive Jesus Christ as his Savior? It was as specific as that. But why did he not do it? Then again, I believe with the words of Alexander White. He says, I, at that moment, doubt Drusilla. You know, all of us were made for company, folks, and that's why God created Eve for Adam. But sometimes company can be very costly. And it proved to be very, very costly in the life of Felix at that time, because we do not read of her sending for Paul. We do not read of her listening to Paul. We do not read of her trembling after Paul spoke. And there's no mention whatsoever of any concern regarding her. And you see, if Felix, after sending for Paul to hear how he could accept Jesus Christ as Savior, if Felix went through with this matter, that is going to mean a whole change of lifestyle, and that would involve Drusilla. And of course, sometimes these are the barriers that Satan brings across our pathway. Friends and family who don't know the Savior. We fear what they will think. We fear what they will say. If we give our heart and our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, is there somebody standing in your way tonight? Is it the fear of family or the fear of friends? Is that your problem? It certainly was a problem in this man's life. the result, he said to the apostle, when I have a convenient season. In a gospel mission of this nature, there was a man in the locality who started to attend the mission and loved the gospel singing and loved the testimonies and loved the preaching. It was very, very evident that God was working on his heart. And he couldn't wait night after night to get, but his wife had no interest in the gospel. And she got in touch with a few friends and asked them if they would invite her husband out to certain events during this mission, which they gladly did. He wasn't a man given to drinking, but they took him to clubs and to pubs with the result that he got a taste for the stuff. And sadly, he died an alcoholic's death. But Dr. Paisley himself was preaching the gospel mission in Rathfriland. And the gospel invitation was given. A man sitting beside his wife heard God call him that night to put his trust in the Savior. And when the appeal was made, he put up his hand, but he never left his seat to go to the inquiry room. Going out the door, Dr. Paisley said to the man, I noticed you put your hand up, and before he could make an answer, his wife said, and he'll not be getting saved. I believe Drusilla is standing in Felix's way. Friend, let nobody stand in your way of coming to Christ. It will be that there's people in Ulster and their heart is set on going to a lost eternity, but in God's name, don't go to hell with them. She stood in his way. With the result, he said, season. And there you see his sinful excuse. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And you know, that man that day is entertaining a fallacy. Note the words, when I. He believed that he could organize the right moment, the opportune time, to give his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a fallacy. Such a moment. And he never did arrange such a moment. And we never read of him trembling again. We read of him sending for Paul, hoping money would be given, but we don't read of him sending for Paul to hear concerning the faith in Christ. That was his God-given opportunity, and he was missing it, and he did miss it. My friend, don't miss the opportunity to be saved. The Bible says we know not what shall be in the morrow. Watch your life, it's a vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanishes away. And the Bible says in Job chapter 14, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Where would you be 5 minutes after your death? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. This man says, when I have a convenient season, when I. My friend, here's the truth. You and I can be saved tonight, but we can only be saved in God's time. And we can only be saved under God's conditions, not ours. And God's time is now. He says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. When Jesus said to Zacchaeus, he said, today, I must abide at thy house, not tomorrow. That would have been too late for Zacchaeus. Because when you read the story of the conversion of Zacchaeus, had he waited until tomorrow, Jesus was just passing through Jericho, the Savior would have passed on. And that is the last recorded conversion before Jesus died on the cross, with the exception of the dying thief. Therefore, there's always an urgency in the now, and the urgency in the today. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. Don't put off. Tomorrow may never come. This moment is all we've got. And God's conditions are very, very simple. He says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he says, repent and be converted, that your sins might be blotted. And the word repent simply means turn. And we got to turn from our sin. That man wouldn't turn. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And we've got to receive the Savior. Because the Bible says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, but as many as received him, friend, have you ever received the Savior? The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. Salvation is God's gift to be freely received. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. On November 1922, a ship sailed out of Liverpool and it was heading for Calcutta. Most of the passengers on board that vessel, they were going to work in the jute mills of Calcutta. But on that vessel, there was a number of missionaries. They were going to India to serve the Lord. Those journeys were long, and those vessels were often inflicted with diseases. And during the voyage, the missionaries asked the captain if they could conduct Sabbath day services aboard the ship. They were given permission. And on the very first service, the missionary preached on, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And after that service, a man went up to him and said, you know, that took me back to childhood days, back to gospel meetings, where I heard messages like that, and we were told the stories of the gospel. He said, I like that. The missionary said, well, why don't you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he said, you know, this vessel pulls in at different ports on its journey because those journeys took something like 6 weeks. And he says, we always go out to a few clubs and pubs, not necessarily to get drunk by any means, to play cards, what have you. But he says, when I get to Calcutta, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. But as you've already said, sickness was often found on those vessels. They were disease infested, and he fell seriously ill. And the preacher went to speak to him about his soul, but he was now so sick and so near death, he couldn't understand or take it in. And with the result, he died, and they buried him at sea. When I get to Calcutta, going to give my life to Jesus. Felix said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. But it never came. Don't wait for a more convenient moment, a more opportune time. Jesus said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, for today is a day of salvation. Friend, what you do with Jesus today is all important. Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do with Jesus tonight, which is called Christ? My friend, you can open your heart. You can embrace him as your Savior. Or you can get up out of that seat and you can walk down that aisle and walk out into the night and trample Jesus' blood under your feet and say, a more convenient. Possibly lose your soul. There's an urgency tonight It's the urgency of your soul's salvation. Friend, don't be like this man. Don't procrastinate. Don't put off. Rather tonight, step out on the promise. Get under the blood. Trust Christ and be saved. Be sure of heaven and safe for all eternity. Because Jesus said, I give to them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's the glorious assurance that God gives to those who trust him. Friend, would you trust him tonight? Now.